Please again turn to your Bibles to Acts chapter 8 and 9, those portion of scripture that we have read. If you have been here over these past weeks, you will know that so far in Acts chapter 8, we have considered three of the main characters in the chapter: Philip the evangelist, Simon the false professor, and the Ethiopian eunuch. Well, today as we come to study this portion of scripture, along with chapter 9, I want to draw your attention to the fourth individual that's mentioned here, Saul of Tarsus, who was eventually to become, of course, the great Apostle Paul. And as we continue our studies in the book of Acts in the months ahead, the Apostle Paul will become one of the main characters that will dominate our studies. But for now, over these next number of weeks, we want to look at five different aspects of Saul's life, which we have recorded here in Acts chapter 8 and 9. And I pray as we do so that the Lord will have a message, a word in season, for each and every one of our hearts. Today I want to center your thoughts on Saul, the committed persecutor. Now, as we have already found out in these studies, and as we're going to find out again today, Saul of Tarsus was the chief persecutor against the Church of Jesus Christ in the early days of the Acts of the Apostles. And these chapters reveal to us how committed Saul was in his persecution of God's people. And very simply today, I want us to consider Saul's persecution of the Church of Christ. And I pray as we do so that again the Lord will speak to all of our hearts, that there might be a message here for both saint and sinner alike. Now, first of all, I want you to notice here Saul's disputing spirit. In order to see this, we must turn back to Acts chapter 6. Look with me there at what is said in Acts 6 and verse 9. You'll read these words: "Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen." I want you to underline those words at the end of the text: disputing with Stephen. We first read about Saul of Tarsus by name at the time of Stephen's death. We have considered that already. The first mention of Saul by name is in Acts 7 verse 58, where he was the chief instigator at the stoning of Stephen. However, it is not unreasonable to assume that Saul was one of the learned men who disputed with Stephen in Acts 6 and the verse 9. And although there is no mention of Saul by name in Acts 6 verse 9, yet the circumstantial evidence is beyond doubt. What is that circumstantial evidence? Well, first of all, Saul was in Jerusalem at the very place where Stephen was killed and murdered. Secondly, Saul was a Pharisee who was taught by Gamaliel, who was a doctor of the law. Therefore, Saul was well able to dispute with Stephen in the law of God, the Old Testament law. And thirdly, Saul, being from Tarsus in Cilicia, was a member of the synagogue that disputed with Stephen. In Acts 21, verse 39, we read these words: "But Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia." And you will notice that Cilicia is mentioned in Acts 6 and the verse 9. Therefore, in Acts 6, verse 9, I believe that we can say that Saul of Tarsus from Cilicia was one of those men who were disputing with Stephen over the word of God. Saul, being a Pharisee, held fast to the law of Moses and did not accept that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Thus, Saul at this time rejected the message that Stephen was proclaiming. Indeed, Saul not only rejected Stephen's message, but also hated Stephen for proclaiming such a message. Saul of Tarsus, as you know, was a well-educated man. He was brought up, as we have said, under the teaching of Gamaliel, who was one of the renowned teachers at that time. He was a man full of wisdom and knowledge as far as the Old Testament law was concerned. Therefore, Saul of Tarsus had the ability and he had the learning to dispute with any man when it came to the Old Testament law. Now, of course, when Saul disputed with Stephen, he was wrong and Stephen was right. But that did not stop Saul and the other learned men from disputing with Stephen. And that's what we have here, I believe, in this portion of Scripture. But the question must be asked, what do we learn here? What do we learn? Well, we learn that strongly held convictions does not mean that you're right, even when those convictions are seemingly based upon the Scriptures. Although Saul and the rest of the members of the synagogue were disputing with Stephen from the Old Testament Scriptures, what they were saying was wrong. Their interpretation was completely wrong. They had missed the mark. And even when Stephen had pointed out their misinterpretation of the Scriptures, they would not believe him, because we read that they stopped their ears and then they stoned Stephen to death. You see, men and women, it is not enough to be educated, even in the Scriptures. You must be taught and believe the right interpretation of the Scripture if you're ever going to be saved by the grace of God. And although Saul of Tarsus had a knowledge of the Scriptures, his interpretation of the Scriptures was completely wrong. Saul of Tarsus, with all his knowledge of the Old Testament and with all his ability to dispute what he believed, he was wrong. And as he was disputing with Stephen, he had a wicked spirit within him because he was not prepared to consider anything that Stephen was saying. And that's why they stoned Stephen to death. And that is why Saul of Tarsus at that particular time would not listen to Stephen, would not listen to the man of God as he preached the gospel and sought to exalt and uplift the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, you can be educated and you can even have a knowledge of the Scriptures, but if you do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is the only Savior of the world, and that he died and that he rose again, then you can never be saved and truly born again of the Spirit of God. I can remember on one occasion many years ago disputing the Bible with a young Roman Catholic man. And this young man was a religious Catholic, and he held strong Roman Catholic convictions based, as he believed, on the Bible. But of course he was wrong. And he was not prepared to compare Scripture with Scripture. And although he held those views with conviction, his interpretation of the Scriptures was completely false. And although the correct interpretation was clearly set before him, he was not prepared to listen, and he ended up telling us that the Roman Catholic Church was right no matter what the Scripture said. And although he had lost the argument, he kept on disputing with us with a spirit of hatred because of what the Scriptures were teaching. The Mormons base what they believe on the Bible, but their interpretation of the Bible is wrong. The Jehovah's Witnesses base what they believe on the Bible, but their interpretation of the Bible is wrong. All the cults base their interpretation on the Bible, but their interpretation of the Bible is wrong. And they will continue to dispute with you their false doctrines, but they will never listen to reason. Saul of Tarsus would not listen to reason. And those men in the synagogues, those men in high office at the time when Stephen was preaching to them, would not listen to reason. I wonder today, is there someone here in God's house and you'll not listen to reason? And although you're educated and well educated, And although you have a knowledge of the Scriptures, still you don't know and you are not prepared to accept that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're not prepared to accept that He died upon a cross. You're not prepared to accept that He rose again from the dead. And you're not prepared to accept that someday He is coming again. Oh, my friend, you have misunderstood what the Bible is all about. Of course, many people today just teach the Bible as a history book. And even others believe that it's just fables. But the truth is this, the Bible is more than just a history book. The Bible teaches us clearly man's greatest need. And man's greatest need is to have his sins forgiven. And the Bible teaches us clearly the only way whereby man can have his sins forgiven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the death and through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's only when the sinner is prepared to believe what the Bible teaches concerning Jesus Christ that that sinner will ever make peace with God and will ever be reconciled to God and will ever be saved and born again of the Spirit of God. Oh, you can see here Saul's disputing spirit. But I want you to notice something else here. Take a look at chapter 8 now of the book of Acts. And look with me there at the verse 1. And you'll see Saul's consenting evil. Look what it says in verse 1. And Saul was consenting, underline the verse, unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The word consenting in the verse there, it means to think well of. In other words, Saul had thought long and hard about what he was doing here. This was not just a spur of the moment thing. That's what the word means. Stephen's stoning to death had been well thought out, and Saul had agreed with it long before it happened. So much did Saul hate Stephen and the message that he proclaimed that he consented unto Stephen's death. Saul could not win the argument, so he consented unto Stephen's death. He agreed that it was the only course of action to silence this preacher of the gospel. They couldn't do it by argument. They couldn't do it by debate. They were losing the debate. Indeed, they lost the debate. So there was only one more course of action to take, and that was to agree together to kill God's servant. So much did Saul hate Stephen and the message that he proclaimed that he consented unto his death. And by consenting, Saul of Tarsus not only agreed with the multitude, but also, I believe, gave the order for Stephen to be put to death. And although Saul did not lift a stone to cast at the man of God, he was as guilty as those who did. And it's important that you see that. We see here the evil that was found in the heart of this man. Saul was content to hold the coats of those that killed Stephen and stand by and watch as the man of God was put to death. Look at chapter 7 and verse 58. And let us remind ourselves. And they cast him out of the city, that's Stephen, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Saul of Tarsus. Saul thought that by silencing Stephen that he would stop the message of Stephen going forth. But of course, he was wrong. And that's why they killed Stephen, to stop him from preaching the message of Christ, the message of the Savior. You know, men and women, today there are many who are trying to stop the Word of God from going forth across this world. They're seeking to hinder the message of Christ from being proclaimed. But of course, they will not succeed. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24, verse 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Aren't those wonderful words of the Lord Jesus Christ? What a tremendous text of Scripture. In other words, it doesn't matter what the world does, and it doesn't matter what the devil does, and it doesn't matter what false cults do and the organizations of this world do. They will never stop the word of God from going forth. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And although Stephen was killed, and although Saul consented unto his death, and although the religious establishment at that time sought to silence God's servants, they didn't stop the word of God from going forth. And you know, men and women, in this 21st century, God's word is still going forth. And thank God it will continue to go forth until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. When the Church of Rome in the 16th century could not, by disputing with the Protestant reformers, stop them from preaching the truth, Rome burnt them at the stake in order to try and stop the gospel going forth. But the Church of Rome's actions did not stop the message of the reformers, because the message of the Protestant reformers was the true message of the Bible. And that's why the message of the gospel in the 16th century continued to go forth and continued to grow and continued to spread from country to country, right across Europe and then right across the world. What is that message? Well, the message is justification by faith alone in a resurrected Christ. And you know, that's the only message that you and I have to declare in this 21st century. It's the same message that Stephen preached. It's the same message that the apostles declared. It's the same message that the early church declared. It's the same message that the reformers declared. And it's the same message that we must declare today. And it's the message, praise God, that can save the souls of men and can deliver those who are held by the power of Satan himself. Turn with me just for a moment to Romans chapter 8. Look what the Apostle Paul said in verse 34 of that chapter. He said this, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Here we have Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And as he writes to the saints in Rome, he declares not only that Christ has died, but that Christ has risen again, and that he has ascended back up into heaven, and that he is seated at the right hand of his Father, ever living to make intercession for his people. Thank God today that's the message of the gospel. And that's the message that we believe, and that's the message that this Bible declares. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that tremendous portion of Scripture. At the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul gives us a wonderful definition of what the gospel is. This is the gospel that Saul of Tarsus tried to silence. This is the message that Saul of Tarsus tried to destroy. And later on, of course, he preached that message. And we're going to see that in a few weeks' time. But look at verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received," and we're going to see how Paul received that message tonight, "how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Why, you wouldn't think it was the same man that we're considering in Acts chapter 8 and 9. Sure you wouldn't. Such is the change in the life of Saul of Tarsus that he is now preaching and proclaiming that the Lord Jesus has not only died, but he has risen again. But before he was converted, he was the committed persecutor. He wouldn't listen to this message. When Stephen preached it, he consented unto Stephen's death when they stoned him to death. He was one of the main instigators in order to stop Stephen from declaring the unsearchable riches of Christ. Maybe there's someone here today, and maybe for a good part of your life, you have been a rejecter of the gospel. You have been a despiser of the gospel. You have been an unbeliever. When someone mentioned the word of God to you, you would say, well, I don't believe the word of God. I don't believe that the Bible is the word of God. I don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I don't believe that he has risen again. I don't believe that he's in heaven. I don't believe he's coming back again. Maybe that's what you have believed for many years. Well, Saul of Tarsus did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that he had risen again. But then he was converted. And maybe as you have come and listened to the gospel and listened to the preaching of Christ, the Lord has spoken to you. And the Lord perhaps today is revealing to you that these things that you once did not believe, you now do believe them. Perhaps you're coming to the conclusion now, well, listen, there is something in this gospel. There is something about this man called Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, I pray that that is the case. And that even today, as you sit under the sound of God's word and consider this individual, Saul of Tarsus, who once hated the gospel, who once despised the preaching of Christ, and then all of a sudden he is converted. Maybe this will be the Lord's day, where the Lord will step into your life. The resurrected Christ will come and speak to you and reveal unto you your need of salvation. I pray that will be the case, because except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But notice something else. Take a look at Acts chapter 9. Not only do I want you to notice Saul's disputing spirit and Saul's consenting evil, but I want you to notice Saul's unrelenting pursuit. Take a look at what it says in verse 1 down to verse 3. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men and women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Notice the first two verses there. Underline what it says. After the death of Stephen, Saul's mission of hatred against the church of Christ intensified. And when we come to Acts chapter 9, Saul is on a crusade against the whole of Christianity. His aim is to wipe out and to destroy everyone who has turned to Christ for salvation. Now, it's important that you see that. I know that we noticed it a few weeks ago, but I want you to see it again. And I want you to see how far this man was away from God. He was far away from God. Consider Saul's dedication. Look at verse 1. It says, yet. This word indicates Saul's dedication of hatred towards the church of Christ. Such was the wickedness of this man that he was not content just to have Stephen silenced. Saul wanted to totally destroy Christianity completely. Now you must see that. It's important that you see that. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He's not just content to have Stephen killed. He wants to destroy every Christian that lives in Jerusalem and further afield. He was determined to go through with this mission of hatred against the doctrine of Christ, come what may. Damascus is some 150 miles from Jerusalem. And he was determined to go down to Damascus to find every Christian that there was who lived in that area and to bring them back to Jerusalem, to imprison them, to persecute them, and even to kill them if necessary. Take a look at verse 2. Consider Saul's deliberate cruelty. Not only did he want to imprison the men, but he wanted to imprison the men and the women. He desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. My such was his cruelty, that it didn't end with the men. Men like Stephen, who were bold for the Lord. No, he wanted to imprison the women as well. He was determined that not one who professed faith in Jesus Christ, this resurrected so-called Savior that these Christians were preaching, not one of them would escape. My friend, take a look there also. Turn over just for a moment to Philippians chapter 3, because there's another point I want you to notice. I want you to consider Saul's deluded sincerity. You see, the truth is, he thought that he was doing this in the name of God. He thought that he was doing right. Look what it says. In fact, this is his own testimony in Philippians 3, verse 5 and 6. We read these words. Paul said that he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, is teaching the law of Pharisee. There's his pedigree. He's speaking now about what he was like before he was saved. Now look at verse 6. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, in the law, blameless. Saul was doing what he thought was right in the sight of God. But of course he was wrong. What he was doing was absolutely wrong. But you can see here, you can see from these early chapters in the book of Acts how this man committed himself to destroy the Christian church. And yet, as we're going to find out tonight, this same persecutor got gloriously saved. He was gloriously converted. You know, friend, the truth is this, that the vilest offender who truly believes that moment of Jesus, a cleansing, will receive. And we look out into this world today and we see some evil, wicked men. And there are many who are still persecuting the Church of Jesus Christ, imprisoning God's people right across this world. The truth is this, that God, in his mercy, is able to save the persecutors of his church. We have an example of it here in Acts chapter 9. And that's why you and I, child of God, we should never give up on anyone, no matter how hard they are against the gospel, no matter how difficult they may come across when we seek to present Christ to them. Because praise God, if Saul of Tarsus can get saved and can be forgiven, then surely there's hope for any man, any woman upon this earth. And that's why it is so important, child of God, that you and I continue to pray, even for those who are hostile to the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's hard to believe that such a man could have been saved. It's hard to take in that such an individual, after what he did to the Church of Christ and to the people of God, could have found grace. But he did. He did. And we'll find that out tonight, and we'll see it this evening. But I wonder, as we come to bring our service to a close tonight, or this morning, let me say this to you, who are still not saved, still not born again of the Spirit of God, would you not come today and trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior? As I said before there, maybe for many years, you have been a rejecter of the Bible. You have been a rejecter of Jesus Christ. You have refused to believe the Bible when it says that he died and he rose again and that he lives in heaven and that someday he's coming back to this earth again. But over these past weeks, months, days even, as the Word of God has went forth and you have sat under the preaching of the gospel of Christ, you realize that you're wrong. You see, Saul of Tarsus had to come to the place in his life where he realized he was wrong, where he saw his sin and his failure, and he had to confess that. And that's the first step to conversion, realizing that you're wrong. Now, it takes a big man to realize and to admit that he's wrong. My friend, when it comes to the things of God and it comes to God's salvation and God's redemption, you must come to that place where you realize you're wrong. All of us who are saved today had to come to that place where we confessed our sin to God and recognized that we were only but sinners in His sight, and we had to confess and to repent of our sin. I wonder today, would you come and confess and repent of your sin? And praise God, if you do and trust Christ as your Savior, then you will be forgiven and you will be cleansed. And the resurrected Christ, He will become your Savior for time and for eternity. Let us all pray.